Scott, who's the director of ACE. Tom Gibney is the deputy director of ACE. And Lena Serrano is the
financial
analyst, who's part of ACE. So they're all here. And I kind of gave you a brief overview on Thursday. Lisa's here to give you a little more detail of what ACE has done this year.
Lisa?
Okay. Basically, January to May of this year, the lion's share of our work was taken up with setting up and implementing the new financial management system. That included, you know, as you may know, meeting with departments, going through hands-on training with all the individuals, and setting up the various systems and security and so forth to operate the new system. In addition, the Golden Hill closeout work and reporting was going on during that period, and corporate compliance work. The ACE division, accountability, compliance, and efficiency, and we now say, you know, slash education, we've been really kicking that into gear since May. The new financial system, we're basically in a stabilization period, so we are actually ongoing with supporting users. But also, the new system provides an extraordinary opportunity for new accountability and efficiency tools. Implementing document management as part of that, so all of the departments are scanning invoices, contracts, etc. You're able to sit at your screen and drill into transactions, see the actual executed contracts, see the invoices, packing slips, etc., for what's there. In addition, the reporting ability, you've got budgetary reports. Previously, the county used to run Bert ran some reports out of finance, and also information services used to run reports for people to manage their budgets. Now it's something that they're able to do real-time, ongoingly to manage that. In addition, a lot of the budget amendment process, et cetera, has also been automated with the new system. One of the things that we're really starting to do now is look at streamlining of the operations of departments. A lot of our billing processes, we're able to help departments streamline that process, track accounts receivable. We're on a countywide basis where the county had not been doing that previously. We're working with interdepartmental, for instance, Department of Social Services will cut checks to UCAT, looking at reducing the number of checks, thereby making everybody's operation more efficient. We're also setting up the capital projects monitoring. As you might recall, there was a system in place before which utilized spreadsheets. We're moving to having increased accountability by having that all part of the system, so that you're tracking the contracts, the original data entry that is occurring when somebody's paying a bill, reporting a requisition or purchase order. That's all being tied together at one time, so there's no need to go back later and accumulate that information, reconcile it, etc.
Lisa, not to cut you short, but I think everybody's well aware what, you know, the responsibilities of ACE was, what your duties were supposed to be, and I know we heard, you know, before, this is how you're going to monitor things in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure everybody wants to hear this all over again.
Okay,
but I think the biggest thing that we want to hear is, you know, we asked you for some kind of quarterly, year, half, biannual report of what you're doing, how you're saving efficiencies, what you plan to do in the future regarding for the next 6 months or 4 months, whatever the case was. And I think that's what we're more concerned with than basically, you know, what your function is. Okay, so if you can go in that direction, I think that would be much more productive for us.
Okay, so so obviously there are some ongoing things that we're working on. Right now we're in the middle of working with Information Services We're taking a look at their, we're intensely working with them, taking a look at their operations, how they're billing interdepartmentally, looking at the bottom line impact. As we know, things have changed over time and funding streams have changed over time. So we're in there reviewing their processes in terms of how they're handling transactions, when they're billing back other departments. Is it any longer necessary? We're working with the Pineski, the folks who do our allocation plan, to make sure that we're taking advantage of all of the funding that's available through DSS, depending on how we handle those, quote, interdepartmentally, whether it's direct or the cost allocation plan changes our bottom line to the county, whether the state participates in some of those costs or not. So we're looking at ensuring that those, we're maximizing any revenue sources from the outside, in addition to reviewing their operations to make sure that they're operating more efficiently. Over time, there has been, I would say, a decreased need for a lot of this interdepartmental billing. And so reevaluating, if a department is getting a block grant now, it's not perhaps generating any bottom line income to the county to be doing interdepartmental billing. So we're really taking in a close examination of that. In addition, in the next 6 months, we're also going to be working with DSS to look at their needs for information, the way they're processing transactions. They're currently working with a lot of databases, and we believe that there are opportunities to significantly streamline those operations so that they're not double recording things. And many times they're recording things in two or three different systems. So again, we're going to be going in there and working with them to streamline those more. We're already in process of doing that with CSE program right now.
So I think at this point, though, I mean, overall, the new financial system is working very well. You get much more condensed reports, as you can tell by our budget. There's much more advantages. You can look at things quickly and make determinations and going into more elaborate things as we have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, when you were, the department was set up, the biggest thing was the fact of, the efficiencies that you're going to find into the different departments.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be focusing at one time, you had to close out Golden Hill regarding the various things that you had to do with that. Then you're going to start looking at different departments. If I hear it correctly, you're saying DSS that you're looking at now?
Information services and
DSS. Okay. And there again, at that time, I think it was the consensus of this committee and the legislative body that we have reports on I don't know if it was a quarterly or if it was a biannual report of what you're doing, what you're looking at, and what you have found to make these efficiencies.
Okay.
So that we have an idea. And then maybe, come to our committee meeting probably twice a year just to give us an update.
Just to add to that, Rich, I know in terms of the efficiencies, a lot of it is the processes the departments are doing. So to quantify a savings, because I know that's what, it's people's time that we're saving where, as Lisa points out, the duplicate entry isn't needed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, to put a price tag or a savings on that, I guess we could quantify it for you, so that way you'd have it. It's just
going to save $10,000.
Right.
We're looking at this area, and these are things we're performing, and we have doubled this in the past. We're not doing this now, so there is some cost
mm-hmm.
savings, whatever that efficiency
yeah.
might be. But there again, my understanding was that you're going to go into different departments,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to evaluate the different departments, how they operate now, and how you can make recommendations to make them more efficient. Is that correct assumption?
Yeah.
All right. Anybody
have
any?
And I will say the way that we are working is more of a collaborative kind of a process, too,
mm-hmm.
so that we're evaluating. We're not just doing one project at a time.
We probably have a few though.
Yeah.
Anyone have any questions? No one? Well, they let you off easy, huh? No question?
the time clocks, they don't interface with the New World system.
Because our payroll is done through Munis. It's not through done Munis. Through New World. I think eventually down the road, I would like it to be. It's a matter of we only could take, you know, one bite at a time kind of thing. And doing a whole process would be very difficult.
So that could be one of your recommendations for the future, Lisa.
It will be.
So every department is required to punch in the biometric time clock or no?
100% of the departments are not on board.
No. But every department does, you know, send us electronic, like a summary of their payroll. What's behind it, the department should have in terms of timesheets and such, if they're not on that biometric system.
Because that would be a useful tool, because then you could just instantly bring up someone's time, you know. Mm-hmm. Not to scold anybody for being late or anything, but just to actually know who's here. Let's say in this building, mm-hmm. and there's a fire alarm. You know who punched in and who didn't punch out, so you know where the people are.
So, Bert, right now, what do you get on payrolls, or just someone's working 35 hours a week,
well, right
40
now,
hours
those,
a week?
Those departments that are in the system, I can see who's here and who's not. Those departments who aren't, I'll get either a summary of what their hours are in terms of for the payroll.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they've worked Monday 9 to 5 or not.
Right.
That's at the department level. They should have that.
Any other questions for Tracy?
Not so much for Lisa, but it's a follow-on for that question. Could we get a report of who's on the payroll system,
absolutely.
Who's not, and what
mm-hmm.
the other departments do, what you get from them?
Mm-hmm.
And also what it would cost. I mean, just something that came up, we talked about at last week's meeting about potentially getting on the payroll system the clerk of the legislature, the comptroller, and potentially the clerk. Right now, the county clerk's not on it.
County clerk, county attorney, county exec, county legislature, and well, even like purchasing, moving on the third floor, they're not in there right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think the third floor's and planning, there's a quantity of people there I'd want on the time clock.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, you know, once we get a time clock down there, we can do it. We actually are just going through an upgrade in our time force system. I want to make sure it works before I start adding new departments to it.
And you could give us an estimate of what it would cost?
I know what it is per clock. Yeah, I do know what it is per clock.
What is it?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
I mean, do you remember?
It's roughly $2,500.
I was going to say $2,500. Roughly
$2,500, that's it? So, I mean, since this keeps coming up about different departments, why wouldn't we just move to get our own department, clerk of the legislature?
Well, that's why this discussion was started last week. Hopefully we're going to follow through. Hopefully we'll have some input
there's enough money in contingency, right, that we could do this. I mean, there's $800-something thousand, so...
No, that's already spoken for. That's spoken for.
Not all of it.
Yes, it is. Well, actually, we spent $801. We're $1,000 short.
No.
Yes, we are.
But to be
take
honest,
my
Tracy,
word for
in
it.
In terms of this building, we have a clock on the first floor. We have one on the fourth floor. We have one on the fifth floor.
Right.
So we need one on the second, third, and sixth. Mm-hmm. So three floors,
$7,500.
$7,500? Seems to me like...
Let's see.
We've had this discussion so many times, I feel like... Yeah,
Mr. Chairman, I will say in the EIS budget, there is an expansion on clocks.
Yes. There is? Or is
there
it?
Is. There is.
Yeah. Is this inclusive?
In the 15, but it's where, you know...
Now it is?
I guess
okay.
Now you're saying it is.
Hector?
Sure. How's that?
I mean, to Tracy's point, I think we can all agree, yes, that this is something that we need to do and that we need to spend the money. I mean, where we pull it from, I think, is probably more of a... It's a different discussion, and you know, I'm sure that's something that we could figure out collectively. But I mean,
and you just heard Bert that there's money's available.
And
that's
going to
be
exactly.
All right.
So
hopefully, Bert, by the end of the year, we'll have a resolution to that effect.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. That's simple. Anything else?
Is
yes.
East done, sir.
Any other questions? If not, you're done.
There you go.
No other
thank
questions.
You.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you all.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Miss. No, it's like people.
You two know each other? Are everybody around the table? Why don't you introduce yourselves?
I'm Lena Serrano.
Nice to meet you.
Tom Giffey.
Nice to meet you.
What's your title?
I didn't get his name. Tom
Giffey. Ace Deputy Director.
It's Gibney or?
Gibney, yeah.
Gibney.
Yes, emails.
Gibney.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
We'll see you, Tom.
Take care.
Take care.
Sorry.
All right. We're going to probably go off the little beaten path here. We have the sheriff here. And, there's a discussion about the various things in the sheriff's department. TJ or sheriff, want to make some discussion here?
Well, I spoke at the Ways and Means Appeals Committee meeting. The only appeal I had was to upgrade the civilian workers at our office from 7 to 8. So I appeal for that to go through. I was told last year to do it during the budget process when we asked in the middle of the year what not to do that. So we did it at the budget process. So if you can see a way to help out, be with that, that would be great. In relation to Tracy's amendment, I'm still exactly the way I was at the Ways and Appeals meeting. I'm ready to sit down. I talked to Jeanette over the weekend. I talked to TJ. I talked to Craig Lopez out here the other afternoon. So all we need to do is sit down, have a meeting, see what suggestions I have, what compromises we can make. State Sheriff's Association has found that we're not doing anything wrong. No case law out there. There's a lot of opinions one way or the other. There are other sheriff's offices out there that do this. They don't. One does it the way we do it. Some do it other different ways. So I'd like to get with them, maybe with the two committees getting together. We can find a compromise on how to do it, or we can find a compromise to do it or not do it. So that's where we stand. I won't take up a lot of your time. Whatever you guys decide, I'll speak at the full legislative meeting if it goes forward.
TJ?
Yeah, and we're scheduling the reaching out to everybody on the two committees for 4:45 tomorrow afternoon to have a joint meeting.
Two committees meaning social services and
Public health.
Yeah. All right, Jeanette and Dave?
You spoke to Craig?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware.
Yeah, what time is that meeting?
You just said 4:45.
4:45.
Oh, 4:45?
I just went.
Didn't
when
even know.
When is the schedule?
Tomorrow, 4:45.
Dave?
I have the memorandum of agreement here. If you take a look at the memorandum of agreement on term of agreement, it says it basically ends at the end of December, but on 2-3 it says the monitor of magnometers perform related law enforcement duties, including but not limited to the resolution of disputes with clients and the detention and processing of individuals for whom a warrant is valid and outstanding. This is the memorandum of agreement. It was signed by contract management. It was signed by, in other words, the executive's office has signed off on this, and it was signed by Mike Iabosi and DSS. And nowhere in the air was the chairman of the legislature sign off on this. So, in other words, this was an agreement between the executive office and with the sheriff. So my take on this is very simple, and I think Cappy points out the point that, in other words, as a legislative body, we cannot direct the day-to-day operations. So what I believe can be easily accomplished is in this memorandum agreement ends the end of December. And they could change the memorandum of agreement, and that could be done, basically by the between the county executive and the sheriff and the DSS to make that change. If everybody wants that change taking place, they could be easily reworded. So, in other words, I just got a hold of this. So, the point of that is that, this thing, it was not brought out earlier. The idea that, you may interpret it one way, you may interpret it that they're basically required to do it by the memorandum agreement. You may interpret it the other way. It could be interpreted two different ways. But the point is, it's in this agreement, and I think it could be easily solved by the executive branch.
All right. Hector and Ken?
Thank
Hector?
You. So, and I'm actually glad that you brought the memorandum of understanding, because that MOU, that is something that, as a policy issue, we can pass, and I think it's something that we were discussing Ways and Means. We can pass as a policy issue that we wish to end this practice, and then that MOU would then have to reflect that we are going to be ending that practice with regards to what's happening right now in DSS. So that is one thing that I'm hopeful that we are going to be moving on.
Sure. Ken?
The memorandum of understanding that the legislator Donaldson just talked about, that identical agreement has been in place for many, many years. I think in the file I have goes back to 2009. Mm-hmm. I think we have to go into the archives to get older, but it's the same exact language has been mm-hmm. in every contract. Mm-hmm. That agreement is approved by the State Office of Temporary Disability Assistance. It's a mechanism that's put in place in order for us to claim social services reimbursement for the security. Okay, so that document is approved by the state. It's been in place for many, many years. Really, the change in policy is something that the sheriff brought forward. A couple nuances that I think is important. One is that any change to that agreement must be approved by the state of New York. So any change in policy that's happened hasn't been approved by the state of New York. Okay. So and also any so it could potentially jeopardize our reimbursement for security at the Department of Social Services. Also in that document. The sheriff agrees to abide by federal, state, and county law and policy. So if the legislature were to set a policy, under the terms of that agreement, you'd have to follow the policy of the county legislature.
Tappy? No. John?
You know, an agreement has been in existence for a long, long time. I don't understand how this just surfaces now. I did see where it was approved by the contract agencies, so the administration approved it, the sheriff approved it, ISS approved it. It's not a legislative policy. We have nothing to do with it. But to say that it's our policy and not their policy is completely disingenuous.
Hold on, Ken. Listen, that's what the whole point is here. The basic was that no one really knew who was going to be responsibility of the policy itself. I think you heard earlier that TJ and Craig are having a meeting tomorrow to get the ball rolling to see if the legislative body can come up with a policy. Once the legislative policy adopts a program or a policy, then we will ask that to be enforced through DSS and also the executive's office, if that's the wishes of the legislative body. Now, of course, it all has to be approved by the state regarding funding and various other things, and the sheriff, he's going to be basically obligated, I would think, to perform these duties. If not, I'm sure there's going to be repercussions. But I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if there's a policy that the county has implemented, I'm no lawyer and I don't intend to be a lawyer, but there again, I would think very strongly that you would follow that policy, the wishes of the legislative body.
I would follow the MOU, whatever the MOU has.
Right. Okay, that's so the MOU.
If I could just point out, Rich, that nothing in that MOU specifically authorizes the sheriff to check everybody coming into that office for identification. There's nothing in there. It requires him to, you know, screen them, make sure they don't have a weapon. There's nothing in that contract that speaks to checking everybody's identification.
And you've got warrants unless you check
them. I would think at this point
we're going to have a discussion of that in the future. Maybe we can go around the roundabout, different people's Cappy, you want to add anything more?
Just so you know, I would think at this point we're delving into some legal stuff that we should be careful of. We have notified our insurance company, as we're required to, at least B has. I think it's at this point, if we're going to discuss any of the legal ramifications, it should be an executive session. I don't think we should go any further.
We're going to have discussion only not regard to the policies themselves, whatever the policy is. You can have discussion on other things. Tracy and Hector.
One thing is where the sheriff just said he would follow the policy of the MOU, or it looks like MOA. I don't know how we choose MOU, MOA. But the MOA actually says that the sheriff has to follow county policy. So if, as you earlier stated, if the county put a policy in place, the sheriff would be required by the MOA to follow the county policy. Mm-hmm. As to this language, well, you know, I don't know how, I know we don't want to get too specific, but I have a different, as Dave said, it's open to interpretation. I have a different read on the language. I don't think it doesn't explicitly state to run these warrant checks on each, but I personally would like to see
We're not getting involved with the particulars,
but let me finish. I don't need to be quieted by anybody here. if I'd like to see this language. Well, I mean, this legally, just because a lawyer's telling me to be quiet, I'm also a legislator.
Right. I'm not telling you to be quiet. I'm doing my job in advising the legislature as to what the legal
let
ramifications
the committees
of.
Do its work, and then if you're not happy with it, then we'll discuss it. But let the two committees do the work tomorrow. Actually, I just want to say,
hold on,
record,
Hector has a floor.
I had requested.
Jeanette, excuse me, Hector. Well, first Tracy can finish, then Hector, then you. Tracy?
What I was getting to is that this language, because it's open to interpretation, because even at this table, different legislators and legal advisors have different, and administrators have different opinions on what 2C means, I would like to immediately find out, per what Ken Cornell just said, can this language be stricken per state regulations? Would it still be allowed? And that's something we must be able to find out the answer. If we strike C entirely, does that affect our agreement with the state? Will it be, if Ken's saying it has to be approved by the state, we should be able to find out if it can be approved by the state. And I'd like to know that immediately. Yeah. I'd like to have somebody reach out and ask that.
Certainly, something you have to be careful about, because the rules governing the reimbursement of the costs are highly regulated. So, you know, this MOU wasn't created in a vacuum. I mean, this was done, it conforms with state policy, and it it's approved annually by the state. Without
so
this
we
agreement.
Should be able to find out if they would approve it without 2C.
I'd like to see a
hold on, time out. We
the
are
law
not,
that allows the state to make this policy.
We are not going to jeopardize our funding. I don't think we would want that at all. So I'm sure we're going to look at what is legal, what is not, what's the state want, what they do not want, and I'm sure that'll be incorporated into anything that comes about that we're going to do here.
Right.
Hector, Jeanette?
So I'm assuming that we will iron some of the stuff out between now and tomorrow, some of these issues.
I don't know.
I said some of these issues. Okay. So mine is a logistical one. Okay, it's not related to any legal issues or anything else.
Don't talk about the amendment right now, please. Thank you.
I'm just saying that what time are we meeting tomorrow? Because it probably makes sense to probably hold off on voting on this amendment until we know what's happening with this policy.
Well, first of all, they're going to meet at 4:45.
I understand that.
We're scheduled to meet at 5:30.
There you go. So this then, at that point, then should probably be on our agenda then at that point for 5:30.
I'm sure we can keep it open until that point.
I just figured it was a logistical question.
Okay.
And I figured I'd bring it up now.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
Jeanette.
You.
Well, just for the record, I did speak to the sheriff yesterday, I believe it was. And I shared with him that the first Monday of every month, Health and Social Services meet, and I did request that the sheriff attend our meeting and have Erica check whatever the protocol was, but unfortunately it happened to be a night where there was so much crazy stuff going on. We had an hour to conduct all business, and it was my understanding that arrangement was not able to be made, and I said to him that was something I was going to work on for the next meeting, so I'm happy to hear that TJ has already spoke with Craig, and I would recommend, hopefully, that that invitation has already gone out to all the members of both committees.
It's not already done.
And I think give us an opportunity to sit down and see what kind of compromise we can come up with. We have a lot of staff here, a lot of attorneys, at our beck and call.
Sometimes that's to a negative point.
Well, I will say it is negative, trust me.
No disrespect, Cappy.
No. It is. I've seen them argue over the meaning of one word for hours, so I know what it's like. But I would just request, you know, give us an opportunity to sit down. This would have been done the first Monday in November. But we weren't able to get it all together. So hopefully by now, Erica has done some work on it also.
All right. Lynn?
I just want to make a point of clarification for myself. The memo of understanding, you said it's been in place and hasn't been changed for years. But the practice is new. So there's this year was a new interpretation of what that memo of understanding. Just so I'm clear on that.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Well,
I don't want to argue it out here, but if I can,
It wasn't a new interpretation to me. It's just the last commissioner, I respected him when he said he didn't believe in it. The new commissioner come in and agreed after a year and a half.
Be careful, please.
I'm sorry.
All right.
No, you're right.
All right. Listen, we're going to discuss. You're going to discuss in between two committees tomorrow evening. It's going to come back to Ways and Means. And then from that point, we'll see where it's going to go. All right? Hopefully you can resolve this.
Can we get a copy of that MOU?
Can we get a copy? Yes, we can.
The public document?
Yes.
There are other documents.
They might have one.
It's darker, Dave.
That's the darkest it's going to get, I think. All right, anything else? If not,
let's move on.
Did we call the meeting to order?
Yeah.
No, we did?
Yeah, you did.
Who wants a copy of it?
All right, let's go through the amendments.
Who wants a copy of the state approval?
All right, amendment number one.
Number one.
I'll move it, Mr. Chair.
I already moved it. You're second.
All right, fine, whatever it is.
All right, that's taking college chargebacks. Any discussion?
Nope.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Next, increase appropriations from Arts Mid-Hudson Program, add a contingency.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Second, Carl? Sorry. Discussion? Yes?
Probably going to be a no on many of these, just because at this point I'm just rather concerned about spending in general. Unless somebody wants to go and convince me, I guess, before session. But I want to just make it clear as to why. It's not the merits of the program. It's that I'm just really concerned about spending.
Why is it $11,000?
They're adding to what they requested.
They have some more.
Tracy?
You know, I've struggled with some of these programs myself, and just so I can let the committee know where I'm coming from. Since the budget recommendations were flat and Legislator Donaldson came before us and talked about a process whereby these departments came to them and they evaluated the requests, at the moment I'm inclined to support those that went through that type of process. Our own programs, legislative programs, have been flat for a while, so that's where I'm at, which is going to reflect some yeses and noes as we go through for that reason.
Well, I just want to make a statement that basically I have some very major concerns. You know, basically this is pork barrel money. You want to classify it. All right, this is what Albany does. This is not what Ulster County has done in the past. We were fortunate enough to have some excess money. We did give it to contract agencies. We were very frugal over the years giving that money. And we try to keep a line on that in the past. And, you know, different legislators have different pet peeve with some of these agencies, and that's great. And they all are very deserving. I want to state that, and I'm sure we all can state that. In their own doing, they probably perform great services, and they're probably underpaid for what they do or underfinanced for what they do. But we have to look out for the taxpayers of Ulster County. We have to be conscious. And how do you justify giving agency A over agency Z or B or X? Do we really know what they do and how they do it? So in saying all that, I have some major concerns increasing any agencies.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can we change the dollar amount?
If you want to make an amendment to that, yes, you may.
Which one are you talking about?
The first one. Amendment two.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
These agencies went through the appropriate committees, and those committees could look at that in a positive, favorable manner, and have recommended it to us. And if the overall, if you look at the numbers, considering about $750,000 is 1% in your overall budget, we're now looking at like bazillions of dollars, and this is money that goes into arts and entertainment, which comes back to you many, many fold. Mm-hmm. This is money well spent.
TJ, no one's questioning that point at all. No one's questioning what they're good doing in the county that they do.
It's either going to be yes or no on.
Dave?
They were unanimously passed by the committee.
Gotcha.
So,
okay. Carl?
I'm not going to drown you in the point that arts are important to our region. In the last few years, if you look at how we become in our community with the Woodstock Film Festival, mm-hmm. the Woodstock School of Art. When I was on legislative programs, we had gone to see the award winners. And in the past, it was administered locally by this county. And then I think last year they combined it with the Dutchess County Center for the Arts, which I think has a broader reach. This goes hand in hand with everything. Like TJ said, economic development, branding Ulster County friendly towards the arts, and I think it's just a win-win situation. It's a $10,000 increase? $11,000 increase. I mean, looking at some of the things that we spend money on, I think this would be money well spent. I think the arts are important.
There again, I want to preface the fact that that's not the point here. I think everybody sitting at this legislative table here says it's very important. It's the question of, you know, giving out money. In my opinion, it's pork barrel money. Why are we only giving out $11,000? Why don't we give them $21,000? Why don't we only give them $31,000?
You want to make that amendment?
No, I don't want to make that amendment. But I mean, there again, how you justify all this stuff?
But that also begs the question. I mean, just to be the devil's advocate, then why give them any money? I mean, because when you call it pork barrel money, it's all of it is the whole $57,000. So, I'm not arguing for you to support it. I'm just saying where I'm coming from is, and I think you are in the room. Like for those that actually went through a committee process of their legislative programs, like if we as the legislature want to say none of these programs. I mean, it's pork barrel money, let's get rid of it all, then we do that.
Tracy, we're not saying that. I want to make that very clear. We're not saying that. It's very important what they do, the functions they do.
Yeah.
Okay, so their question becomes how you put a value on it, at what dollar amount. That's the question.
But here, Rich, hear my thinking out. How you put a dollar at it and at what dollar amount it is, we put in the request through Ways and Means. You went to this legislature earlier and said, we're going to put in the request flat for everyone. So nobody got an increase, and then each of these requests had to make their case to their appropriate committees. And in the case of the ones that Legislator Donaldson has brought forward, since that's what we're talking about right now, those individual organizations made their case, and the committee listened to their case, and the committee said, okay, you've justified this proposed change. And while I've struggled with it a little bit, like, I believe in the process, because we began with an arbitrary number. We began by saying, it's flat. If you could justify $1 million more, you're getting flat. And then if they came back and said, hey, we have this program, and that's what they did. I mean, essentially, that's what happened. They went to committee, they went through committee. So.
And that was our process from day one, that this Ways and Means Committee decided that's how we wanted to handle it. We would give everyone an opportunity to make a presentation, if they needed more money, to demonstrate why they needed the more money. Okay, and
they
did that
the
through that committee.
Level.
What's that?
Or even if they needed the plat level.
That's
they do
correct.
One
whatever we said we would
respond.
Level, we would keep it at the same level, and they would have to make arguments to change that one way or the other.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Carl, I mean, everybody's going to have their own opinion here,
yep.
And we're going to keep moving.
Okay.
But Carl,
yeah,
something new though, nothing different. We heard the same thing about
yeah.
you know, over and over again.
No, absolutely. I don't agree with you that this is pork barrel money, though, because we as a legislature, we have the ability to offer amendments, you know, in the process. And if not for anything else, a contingency account, excuse me?
I said you should have left well enough alone.
Oh, why?
Because it is pork barrel money.
Well, I don't feel it that way, because the contingency, I think, is pork barrel money, and we have no control over the contingency account. What we do have control over is what we could amend this budget.
Yeah,
that's
control
that's not true. We have the total control of contingency with resolutions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, but so when was the last time somebody had a midterm bill for giving people money?
Over the years, we've used that contingency.
I think that this is the opportunity for us to do it.
This is still less than what they have received in the past. We just received, I think the Regional Development Corp just did an economic evaluation about arts and how it drives economic value within our region. It is a commitment, an ongoing commitment to the arts in our community, and I think we should consider it.
TJ?
Thank you.
Hello. Legislator
Briggs, Legislator Archer, and the first part of Legislator Profiglio. When you open any Google Ulster County, there are people that look at nothing about the opportunities, the arts, what the benefits they are going to get. It enhances Ulster County. Yes, I fully understand your position, Rich. I'm not disagreeing with you. But it does make Ulster County more attractive, and people do come here.
I want to make it more money. Start that.
Hold on.
Yes, quickly. Come on. Right.
So, Legislator Mayo, you had said that you wanted to make an amendment to this. Is that correct?
No, I pull it back. Let's just vote on it. I'm good.
Because there's a movie on it about 10 o'clock tonight. I'd like to see it.
10 o'clock.
You. I have to go back to work.
So. All right, let's go. Amendment number two. All in favor, say aye.
What? Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Against.
Can we get a number there?
Number
two.
We're only on two.
Everybody four? Everybody four?
Yeah, we're all for it.
Love me.
All right.
Everybody except Rich?
Yeah.
We heard you the first.
Amendment third. This is community action, increasing it from 16.75 to 21.750, net change of $5,000.
Is this the woman who was at the...
No.
With the phone?
I'll second it.
Yes.
Why are we doing it? No. Why? I mean, we could do this on every line.
Mary Beth.
Yeah,
Mary Beth. She said yes, she was with the lady.
No, that was
awareness. Was the one who was on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that was awareness, wasn't it?
That was awareness.
All right, let's go.
Awareness.
Community action.
You want to discuss this or just vote?
No, Marie Schultz taking vacation.
I don't know what more we're going to say. Vote. All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? Me. Four. DSS, CASA funds. This is basically take it out of the county budget, put it back into an outside agency.
I'll move it.
Second. Did we move the other ones? I'm sorry. Did we move the
other ones?
Okay, I'm sorry, yes.
I have a concern about that because... This is an important program.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
And why leave it as a contract? Many of us might not be here in another year. Somebody else comes in and doesn't appreciate what they do. This way, it's in the budget. They can't take it out.
Why can't you take it out, Jeanette? You can still take it out.
Well, because we wouldn't allow it to come out. But
well,
as
if you're a legislator, you're not going to allow it to come out if you vote on it. You still have to vote either as a budget or an outside agency.
Well, I'm not looking for a debate.
No, but I mean, you
I'm
have as much input one way. Okay, fine.
You know,
but I mean, you have much.
Anybody else did, and you didn't debate them.
I'm not debating anything. I want to move this thing along.
I just think it's a great program. I think it has a better chance of even getting better under the Department of Social Services. I really do. And that's why I'll be a no on moving it.
I really respect your opinion, Jeanette.
Okay.
Any other ones? If not, all in favor of moving it to a contract agency, say yes.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone against?
Against.
Three.
Against.
Pass.
That's
John.
Did John vote on that one?
John, you vote?
Yes.
Yes, 4-3.
6-3.
Next. Cornell Cooperative Extensions move from recommend the budget 312,475 to 350,037,525. Who moved it? Moved it?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? There again, Dave, I'm very much familiar with their program. They're a very great program. I would love to give them that kind of money, but unfortunately I cannot do that.
Just FYI, this is basically covering expenses that they did not have in the past. When the building got sold, they took on additional expenses, and they've been able to maintain all their programs, even with some reduced staff, and still go after grant. And so this is really helping them with the transition, which they did not have when they had a building free of charge, and now they have to pay expenses. So.
Dave?
And basically, the money that they get from us, they leverage probably 3 and 4 times that money from other, state, the federal government, along with foundations. So it actually helps keep employees. They have just about 40 employees, and so it's. When you compare it to the IDA, they're pretty effective.
Any other discussion?
Is that right?
If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody against?
Against.
Me? Anybody else? Hector?
Yep.
All right. Six. eating disorder groups.
I'll second.
Second. Tracy?
So this one, similar to one that's coming up later, two that are coming up later, I have a little bit of issue because it didn't, like, as my understanding is, it didn't go through, it's not a contract agency, it's kind of what you talked about, Jeanette. It's been moved into the department, and departmentally they didn't request an increase. So,
no, that hasn't been.
Yes, this is a part, in the department, and departmentally they didn't request an increase. So, in order to be consistent for myself, because I'm going to be voting no to some others coming up, I'm going to have to be a no to this one.
Any other discussion? Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody against? The floor.
Hector, Mayor, Tracy.
Yep. Anybody else?
Pass
5-4. Next, awareness funds.
This is the one.
I'll move.
Yeah, change from 5 to 10. Moved by Carl. Second by Jeanette. Discussion, roll call. Tracy?
I just need clarification on this one. Did this one go through a committee?
There is no committee that oversees that program.
It's similar to the departmental.
Well, no, it isn't a departmental. It was a legislative request last year.
It's a legislative program. So what committee, where does awareness lie? What committee is it in?
Well, it isn't. We don't have oversight for awareness.
Right, but like UPAC. Right, but UPAC rising.
Well, I think that we should probably incorporate it in the health committee, but it hasn't, you know. I mean, if you look at the committee's assignments and things.
I don't think they were aware that they had it come before committee. That's certainly, I don't recall that.
It was a brand
new
thing. It was just paper.
Yeah.
But the lady did come
to
see us last week.
Yeah, she did.
No, and
it's an incredible program.
They requested an increase in a timely fashion with the reasons
why. A lot of young people would go.
All right, what's everybody's flavor here? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody against besides me?
Hector.
Hector? All right. Next, PSA advertisement. This is increased from 0 to 3,000.
I thought this was getting pulled.
This is pulled.
No, I put it back in.
They put it back in. They are not using it for public service announcements, my understanding, correct?
Right.
They're using the money
public
for what?
Announcement, advertising awareness.
Advertising awareness.
I'll move it.
It was for
Is this for the committee that the outside committee that's looking at drugs and alcohol?
Yes. The Ulster County Coalition Against Narcotics.
Okay. I'll second it.
Who's the second?
So the evolution. So this.
Hold on, Tracy. Before you go any further, we need a second so we can discuss.
Yeah, second.
Okay, second. Okay, go on, Tracy.
This resolution was for Narcan kits. Right.
Correct.
And then at last meeting, we found out that
they have it through the county, right? They can get it through the county at no cost, the kits. Now they're asking for monies to service announcements, advertising, so that the different agencies or different groups can get nowhere to go to get these kits.
But so, is there a budget? Is there an advertising budget? Like, what is this $3,000 proposed
to
be
used for? Money.
It's like what, like
there
how
was
many, how
there was
many
no specific of how that $3,000 going to be spent, correct, Carl?
It's going to be spent on getting an awareness of this coalition, and it's going to be spent on public service announcements. Now, right now,
but aren't public service aren't public service announcements free? I mean,
no.
Public service
not production.
No.
Production not, but the airing is yes.
Well, not all airing is free. A station has the right to air public service announcements and then charge you for more. I mean, you don't just get carte blanche free public service announcements from a radio station or TV.
Definitely get free ones from a radio station. I don't know about. I mean, I can't speak to TV, but
well, there's a limited. I believe there's a limited number because to digress on Ulster Prevention Council, we do public service announcements too, and you get a limited amount of public service announcements from radio and TV. They're not unlimited.
John,
if I might, these next two resolutions, the one you're talking about, these groups were recently formulated by the legislature. It will be assigned a committee, but at this point, they're sort of like in a limbo, amorphous, or whatever you want to call it. But what Carl is saying is that we might need something as we move forward to try to make the 1 in 5 with the heroin addiction. It's an awareness thing at this point.
May I suggest that if that's your case, why don't you move into contingency? Once you have something definite, come back to the legislative mm-hmm. body, and it can be voted on at that time instead of not knowing exactly what you're spending the money for?
You can do anything you want, but I want to say one thing. Last week, at a meeting, we were told that there's free Narcan for everybody. Legislator Briggs didn't know about it, and he's running an agency down there, one of the better ones in the county.
Thank you.
I got a call today that said the ambulance corps have their own medical directors and therefore can't get kids through the program Mr. Cornell was talking about. What bothers me a little bit is this amendment was sitting around here for 3 or 4 weeks. The edict that it was going to be given out free forever, I guess, was suddenly sprung on us in sort of like a sandbag of surprise. I understand how things happen, but I don't forget how things happen. True. This is something that they've been working on.
Let's talk about the funding of the resolution itself. Hold on, hold on. Before you guys talk, we got two other members here in the YouTube. Hector, Mary Beth, Ken, Bert, and then Carl.
All right. So, you know, Mr. Chair, you know, it is a small amount of money. Let's not go crazy about that. But originally it was to buy Narcan, and now it's being allocated for PSA/advertising. I think your suggestion, Mr. Chair, is I think the appropriate one, is that, yes, if we want to go in this direction, let's actually formulate a full plan, and at that point come back to the legislature. We can pull it. It's being pulled out of the same fund that we'd be pulling it out of, you know, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, you know, later on in the year. It's still coming out of contingency. It's still coming out of that grouping. I think for right now, it seems like we've sort of rolled over the new idea into like the same dollar amount, into the same amendment, as opposed to maybe taking a step back and formulating this further.
Mary Beth?
I was going to say the same thing.
Really?
Ken?
I just wanted to mention that when the legislative staff was formulating these amendments several weeks ago, the topic of Narcan came up. The staff was informed that the county is able to obtain the kits with no cost to the county. The staff was notified. There's no surprise. There's no springing. You know, I believe that did occur. So,
okay. Bert, same thing? All right. Hope we're getting good press out of this. You want to advertise, right? Carl.
I just have to say that I wasn't informed of this, but in order to help this committee, we do need some seed money. So at the last minute, I thought, well, if we can't get Narcan kits because we can get them through the state health department. Although I asked you which EMS or fire departments or anything actually asked for them, you didn't give me anything that I could see that anybody has actually benefited from this program yet.
We didn't know about it.
Right. So I changed it hastily. My apologies for doing that, but the $3,000, if you couldn't get these Narcan kits from the health department, would be a big help. But I think that saying that this $3,000 couldn't be used to let the general public know that there's a committee working on this heroin epidemic and this opiate epidemic, which John misspoke about 1 in 5. It's not 1 in 5 people are addicted to heroin, but it's 1 in 5 people can be addicted to opiates, and that includes prescription drugs, heroin, and the like. So I think it's a noble cause, and I think that if we don't fund something like this, and we just have a committee just to talk, and not put any backing behind it, then there's no reason why we should have a committee, and we should just let everybody's help fall to the wayside.
All right. I don't know, Carl, if you heard before. I think it probably have a better chance to pass if you put on there, instead of for the camp kits or Narcan kits or the advertisement, you put in contingency, come up with a plan, bring it back, whatever that plan is, to expend that money that way. Then you know exactly what it's going
to
be.
Yeah, I believe SUNY New Pulse was looking for some funding to help with the campaign. That's what my
understanding. TJ,
well,
yes.
That was the PSA.
TJ has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that when it does come back around, if those folks could meet with law enforcement, since EMS and fire kind of go through us, and we can get that word out maybe a little better. I know it might look for health, but if we could have it so we could get the word out to EMS and fire, I think we might be able to get out a little faster. So if it could come through my committee, I would appreciate it.
Well, there's an open invitation right there. Jeanette, you want to say anything? You say anything? No? Okay, that's all right. Anybody else? Carl, you want to just put it into contingency with the, you guys formulate a plan and bring it back, whatever that plan might be to...
It's already in contingency.
I understand, yeah. But well, what I'm saying...
Withdraw it.
No, withdraw it. Just keep it in contingency. What, you come back with a plan that you want and bring up to...
No,
to
withdraw the...
No, come on. Come on.
Withdrawing or
we're
voting.
Okay, withdraw or voting. Let's go. One or the other.
Then let's vote.
Well, let me understand this, though, okay? So then later on when we come up with a plan, I'll just basically create a resolution, get a co-sponsor, and we'll take it out of contingency.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got nothing to lose.
Go to TJ's department. I want
to go for a vote. I'll vote to vote today.
Go for what?
To vote. To vote on it. If I got nothing to lose, I might as well vote on it.
Okay. Everybody?
All right, all in favor.
Everyone wants to vote. Aye.
Against?
Everybody else.
Next. EMS coordinator part-time.
I'll move it.
Move. Second.
Second.
Second. Discussion. Nine. This is nine.
I have a question.
Tracy?
So last week, you said that this is going to be like the fire, volunteer fire coordinator, right?
Fire coordinator.
Which I have to admit, I don't know a lot of the details. Like, I had asked, like, what that person does, and TJ said it'd be coordinating, like, necessarily, and making phone calls. But I guess my first question is, did this go through committee? Like, did this go to your committee, TJ, or is this just something you and John are bringing forward?
I don't think it went through my committee. I know it's something we had discussed at length.
John?
There is no committee yet. It just passed, I think.
Well,
but it reports to
law
enforcement.
Yeah, it would go to law enforcement.
But I know, like, the fire got, you know, Charlie Bucks is the fire coordinator. They really don't report to our committee. They go through the fire advisory board. That all goes through emergency management services.
Right.
So they, I know, I can't think of his name. Chris? Peterson, right? Emergency management guy.
They worked for me. Steve.
He was at
the
was at one of our meetings. We did speak about this and thought this was a good idea because the fire, they have a main coordinator that they go to. Rich Parrish has been serving this function for probably 5 or 6 years.
In this function, just not paid.
With not being paid, yeah.
So effectively, so basically, someone's doing a job they're not being compensated for. We could look at it that way, but. Are they going to be doing something different than they're doing now, or just now going to be compensating them for what they're doing?
I think they'd be compensating. They'd also have a deputy. There is no deputy now, and it gives a little more credence to what they have and their access to.
And it's an executive's appointment.
Yeah.
It's the executive.
Yeah. Ultimately, yes.
And it's non-benefited because part-time. Both of them.
That's Carl and Jeanette.
Well, I think that when we created the EMS Council, there wasn't a legislative oversight committee to this, like the Fire Advisory Board, or legislative appointees to it. So that's also part of it, that there's going to be legislative appointees to that committee. So I think what John's point is that it's hard to get these people to volunteer day in and day out, be on call 24 hours a day on certain days without some kind of compensation. And I think it'll just help the process because Rich Parrish does it right now, but he's not going to do it forever. And you want to enlist people who are capable of doing it. It's a small stipend for a very large responsibility.
Jeanette, and then TJ.
Yeah, I just want to clarify once again. I don't ever recall the Ways and Means Committee saying and making it a notice to every single contract agency that if you want to request more funds, that you need to go to your respective committee. I don't even know if they know what committees to report to at all of these contract agencies. And this one here in particular, I think, should report to the health committee. And I think it is important.
Talking about the EMS.
It's an, yeah. It is an important position. And when you need them, it's nice to know that they're there.
So will you set it up, put a resolution in that the, this particular position is going to report to the health committee?
Health committee. Yeah.
Tracy? No, it's TJ Tracy.
Yeah, I was just going to clarify. Just, I mean, as far as the contract agencies, I think there was a directive since it went out flat and the request. This I was just asking.
Where was the directive?
Ways and Means.
Jeanette, what happened was people were going out to all these agencies on their own, asking all the agencies to increase their budgets. We did a legislative process through the budget committee. I asked everybody in this committee that would you like that if they're going to do that to go to what's your committee? I'm sorry.
Legislative programs.
And ask them to go through there and justify any increases.
The ones that were relevant. But I just wanted to clarify.
That's how that transpired.
That my asking TJ on this one wasn't the same thing. I was just trying to understand the genesis and asking if it went through the law enforcement committee just so I could get like where it came from. It wasn't the same kind. It's not. I don't think of them as identical to the contract.
All right, TJ and Carl.
Thank God, the executive in the capital project, there's a $19.5 million countywide radio system process that's going to start, and that starts in 2017. And you know, that's changing. We're all EMS and fire. We're going to high band from low band or some rubber band. I don't know. I don't fully understand all that stuff.
Sorry, but if you ever said one of those meetings,
it's just like a ton of money, and it's a lot of responsibility, and disseminating that out to all the agencies is of vital importance. So, Rich is, Lord willing, and the executive sees fit to place Rich in that position, and also whatever the deputy person would be. I mean, their responsibility and their commitment to EMS within the county is only, that work is only going to increase, and this is really vital. And, you know, we run about 25,000 calls a year, EMS calls in the county. So,
Carl and John?
I was co-sponsor of the EMS Advisory Committee resolution. It went through
good.
Law enforcement and public safety. They had the resolution in front of them. They voted on it unanimously. Went through health. We voted on it unanimously. If you read the resolution, it states that the oversight committees are law enforcement and public safety and health. It was a non-consent, so I'm sure it whizzed by everybody. But, you know, it was there in black and white. It's still there. You can see it on the website.
Don't John. Bring that up about consent.
I just want to say in particular that the EMS community is reaching a critical mass. They have so much work to do. They have so much continuing education. The calls are increasing significantly, and their members are dwindling. And whoever takes this or gets this, if it happens, has an awful lot of work to do.
Come on, let's start this.
No.
15 more pages.
Don't be
we're almost done.
Call.
Bert, did you get that?
Call the question.
Call the question.
I did.
All right, any other discussion?
Call the vote.
All right, let's have a vote on this. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? Nope. Let's take a 5-minute break.
Thank you.
And we're timing it.
Is there any food left?
I would think there's a lot of food left. I don't know. We've been in here, Jeanette.
No.
Thank you.
Did you eat?
No, why could you not take a break?
Sorry. How many
are you eating? Here.
Reality check.
Reality
check.
I don't know.
It's reality.
All right, amendment number 10. Burn panels.
I'll move it.
$10,000. Second. Discussion. Hector, burn panels.
I'm all for the burn panels.
Okay. Who else? Jim?
Oh, although.
Yeah, he's a
yes. Yep.
Just to clarify, again, I mean, I know we brought this up during the course of Ways and Means. This will be made available to all the departments in the county. So, all right, so even though we're spending $10,000 that is going specifically to Walker Valley, it is for use for all of the fire departments.
All
just
right.
To clarify.
Lynn, all right?
Yeah, she's in a yes.
I'm waiting for James. Waiting for James.
She's not in the committee.
James, burn panels. Jim, burn panels.
Jim. Yes.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We should all say
aye. 11. Federated Sportsman Funds, 0 to 5,000.
I'll move it for vote.
Second. Move it. Second.
Second.
Second. Trace?
Comment, same as I said last week. I mean, we sent out, Ways and Means set a policy, and we sent out a request to all agencies who are funded. We suggested or asked that they respond if they needed level funding and explain what it was for, if they needed an increase, what it was for, and to date, we have not heard from Federated Sportsmen. So I'm definitely...
Well, we did hear from through a legislator.
Not through the Ways and Means process.
I understand, not the process, but we didn't from a legislator. Okay. But
move the question.
Okay. Yeah. Just...
Way late.
Move the question.
Any other discussion?
No.
No? All in favor, say aye.
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 Against?
No.
It's TJ, Mary, Tracy, and Hector.
Well, I'm no. I'm no.
It's in here now.
No.
Two. Me and Carl.
That's 5 o'clock. Okay.
You probably have John. John, you vote?
No.
You vote yes? He'd vote yes.
No.
All right, next.
Failed.
Yes.
Yeah, failed.
Yep.
Number 12, which is the leading entire sheriff security division. We're going to be having a discussion tomorrow. Rachel, would you like to pull this till tomorrow?
I would like to say something before I not pull it.
Okay.
It depends on what happens tomorrow, though I'm curious what's going to happen in 45 minutes, which is what we're talking about for a joint meeting prior to our meeting. What I would suggest...
Are you optimistic?
Maybe
a little thing.
Maybe I'm hopeful, but I don't know that I would say I'm optimistic that it's going to be resolved to my satisfaction, because I want something certain and something definitive, not a maybe. And to that end, what I would suggest is that the committee consider making this recommendation to the full legislature as a means of maintaining our authority over the policy, because this is our final and most ultimate authority. And the fact is, if we move it into contingency, we can pass a resolution moving funding on a month-by-month basis back into the line so that Bert can do his work and bills can be paid while we're ironing this out, but without us being firm in terms of the financial hammer, you know, we could end up being in a back-and-forth disagreement about how we administer policy. There could be ongoing differences of opinions that I could believe could last for months and months and months. So I would ask that the committee seriously suggest making the recommendation as a means of executing legislative authority over this policy.
Well, I think you're 100% correct in the sense that this legislative body has full authority to set policy. And I think that's their functions as individual legislators, is to do that. I know they're meeting. Hopefully they come with some kind of resolve. Hopefully maybe it's a permanent one. I don't know. But hopefully they'll come up with some kind of resolve that everybody's helped or feels comfortable with. But the bottom line is, I would suggest strongly that we as legislators take the bull by the horns and set a policy as quickly as possible. We can do it by the end of the year so that it's incorporated into their contract. By all means, let's do such. But, I mean, there again, we have a limited time here in the sense that what we're doing, how we're doing it. So let's follow through. And no matter what happens after tomorrow, let's set that policy. Hector, then Dave.
I just want to move to postpone this for our next meeting tomorrow at 5:30. That's all.
Well, we'll give the sponsor...
No. The next meeting of Ways and Means is at 5:30.
So will that be numbers 13? I'm sorry, 12, 13.
It's the three of them. They go together. So.
12, 13.
God bless you. All right, Dave.
I mean, I think this is, using a hammer to get the fly. And as far as I'm concerned, it's, in some ways, I hate to say it, but in some ways it's a little on the irresponsible side. And because this is, an important function that people want at DSS, and after you saw the memorandum of agreement, I think it can be easily solved through the memorandum of agreement. And if we want to put our 2 cents in on the policy during, for that memorandum of agreement, then I think we very well should.
reword that the way it says. I mean, if you read the second page, there's other parts of it actually says, spells out what they're supposed to do when they grab somebody for a, when they search somebody for, they're looking for the warrant. So it really does, it's the memorandum of agreement is the key. And so as a result, I mean, I think threatening all these employees that are working in that division with being laid off, basically, to me, is irresponsible.
Well, Dave, just so that you're clear and everybody else is clear, this is not implemented. It was just brought up as an idea to get everybody's attention, to say, hey, we got a problem here. This is one way we can resolve this. Not saying that we as legislators are going to move in that direction to solve this problem that way. But it did get everybody's attention, and here we are, and then we got to move quickly, like I said before, because yeah, I think it's very utmost that it's our decision to take the bull by the horns here and incorporate something by December 31st. Jeanette and then Tracy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would also make a request that whether it's through the clerk or through you as chairman, that there were some questions raised today from Ken Quinnell about the MOA. And I think instead of waiting until tomorrow at 4:45, that we have some calls made and that those things all be clarified, any information be provided to the two committees that are going to meet here tomorrow at 4:45.
Can you give us that information?
Yeah, our clerk, huh? We have clerks, we have attorneys.
No, you got to do it. You got to promise me. I won't sleep tonight unless you promise.
I'll do my best. You can have Kathy.
I think I do. I already asked Kathy.
Well, that's
get the law that says that we can't change that.
We will do everything possible to get this. Tracy. Hold on, one at a time, please. Tracy has it.
Go back to my earlier request, a couple things, but since we're on this one right now, to go back to my earlier request, it's not to just get the law that says we can't change this. I'm less inclined to want to see the abstract than the specific of whatever that is. 2C of the MOA, if it were stricken in its entirety, is that allowable? Would that still be within the legal allowable of the state? I mean, specific, yes. And I agree.
All right.
And second of all, the idea, when you talk about this resolution as to, Dave's calling it irresponsible, but I would say that it's the most responsible thing we can do, because right now we've been hearing, like I said, a lot of differences of opinions about, the sheriff said to Hector's question last week, I don't know if I would follow policy. Mm-hmm. Today he said I would follow the MOA. Now there's a question of, okay, what's the reading of the MOA? So the most responsible thing we could do is give the legislature the final option, and the only way right now, short of a definitive agreement, that we can do it is with these amendments. So we're going to talk about it tomorrow, but I hope that everyone would consider that. And I also want to say, I know that every legislator, I have started to get many calls of distress about the policy and support of, not specifically, they're supporting my amendment, but what they're really supporting is a change in policy. And today I know that all the legislature was copied on a letter from a specific constituent who utilizes the services of, you know, through the DSS with specific complaints.
Two people.
I got more than that. So I would ask everyone to read them carefully, because they're very, very specifically worded, the concern and the action.
All right, Ken, you know, you said I'm withholding you from speaking. I am reaching out as hard as I can for you to have the floor.
I think I want to clarify. I don't know that the right thing is to strike a specific item in the MOA. Everything's there for a reason. There is nothing in this agreement that gives the sheriff the authority to check everybody's identification coming in the door. The executing of a warrant is a different matter. I mean, that's a law enforcement function. You do understand the difference between the security at, say, the county office versus the Department of Social Services. There are magnetometers there. There are armed deputies there because of the nature of the transactions that happen there. Whenever you're dealing with people and their children, you're getting between people and their money. You know, it does warrant a higher level of security. So again, there's nothing wrong with the MOEA. It's very common. The terms of it, again, I can document that the State Office of Temporary Disability Assistance approves this agreement. They've approved it. It's also important to note that any major change to the MOA must be in writing and also approved by State OTDA. So, this particular agreement and the verbiage in that agreement has been in place, you know, as far back as 2009 and before. It's very, very many, many years. There's been no changes. What's been changed is how the sheriff has interpreted and implemented the agreement. So really, that's the bigger issue is, you know, and also with we don't do anything that jeopardizes the reimbursement. So just to clarify that.
I gave you ample amount of time.
Thank you.
See that? John?
I know where everybody's coming. I talked to...
All right, hold on. Before we go any further, no more talking about the MOU, whatever, MAA, because the thing is, everybody has difference of opinion right now.
Rich, I have to sign in. There's a dude sitting there. I sign in, and I put the time I'm going in and whether I'm going at the time to the health department with a water sample or for a permit or to the veterans thing. I had to sign in over in family court. And then the guys over there can just take that and see, and they did do it, what warrants are outstanding. So it's not like this is something incredibly unusual, other than the fact that maybe I could lie on it and put Rich Gerentine's name down. But it's not unusual. We just had everybody to sign in here. Why? So we'll know who's here?
No, see if anybody has any warrants.
Warrants. Yeah. Public record of who's going into the Social Service Department. No different.
Tracy. Let's not get involved. Because we're going to beat a dead horse here. And the thing is, we have until we know all the answers, we're going round and around.
Do you have the floor?
I still have the floor because I'm the chairman. I always have the floor. So I allow you to speak. See how nice I am? Like I let Ken speak. You have the floor now.
Thank you. First of all, the fact that we have differences of opinions in terms of the read of this is part of the problem.
Right.
And Ken Cornell, I totally agree with you with what you're saying. I read this and I totally
okay.
I do not
Tracy.
I'm speaking on it.
What I said before.
But I'm speaking on it.
Okay, but we could speak all night about it. But the point is
finish.
We are going to deal with that in the future
because
we're just wasting time.
We are wasting time. No, you're not. You're not talking. You're not going to be recognized.
My point is that I appreciate that this, as written, doesn't give the authority to run the warrants, but I'm asking that if you remove this language, would it still be allowable? Because you're saying some things are and aren't allowable.
Or do you, on the converse, do you write that you
should... But he's saying that they're two different things.
Right,
hold on, one conversation,
you don't
please.
Check the ID of everyone. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe it's a different... You know, so.
We also have to ask the State Department of... Whatever.
There's no question that was brought up, and we will do that.
Is that all documented? Do we have one of the clerks sitting here?
Who?
Is any of the clerks here?
Don's here.
Yeah.
Don, I'm sorry.
No, it's all
right. Yeah. So you got all the questions and all the concerns. Would you make sure that either Cappy or Vicky or Erica or whoever, Chris, gets all those questions answered before we meet at 4:45.
Actually, better yet, email them out to all the committee.
You know, otherwise,
and TJ's committee too.
And I did have another
and
question
Craig's.
That's not yeah. related to my previous question. Can I get a copy of any other MOAs between the Sheriff's Department and the other buildings? If there's an MOA in place between the Sheriff's Department and the County Office building, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, wherever.
Who are you asking?
I'm asking out loud to whomever
can get it. Universe.
Ken, can you get that?
I'll see what's on.
We'll look to see what we got.
Okay. I mean, all right.
A lot of these are in place because of reimbursements for the
building. Understand.
Well, there's no reimbursement for the Correct. County building, right? So I'd like to see what's the
might
agreement here.
There may be reimbursement at the health department, for example.
So I'd like to see them.
I'll check here.
In every case. Thank you.
Howard?
Howard Ball with CSEA. You know, I just want to draw attention. You're asking for information for the state to indicate to you if you strike provisions of an MOA. You'd be lucky if you get that in 3 weeks. Forget about tomorrow. The state is not going to respond to you overnight with answers to a lot of your questions. So if you're hinging on having answers to this by 4:45 tomorrow from the state, it's not going to happen. Right?
We'll
it's not going to happen. It's just not the reality of the way the state works.
We'll address that at that point.
Actually, we're asking for 4:45 today.
You're not going to have it.
Not
going to happen. All right. Anything else? All right. So we're, Tracy, we're pulling 12, 13.
Not pulling. You're postponing.
Postponing. Excuse my.
Pulled
for
today.
No.
Postponed.
12, 13, and 14, correct?
There you go.
All right. Amendment 15.
You're withdrawing?
I'm withdrawing. We're a little reluctant to see. The 15 and 16 are the same. It reduced the hours from 40 hours down to 37.5, and the other one is to 35.5. I feel, you know, it is a great amount of money, like a 12% decrease for the people in those lines. I would suggest strongly that we do the 37.5 this year and go down to 35 next year.
That's 16?
So we're going to do number 16. We're going
to
go
to 16.
So 37.5.
37.5 with... with the knowledge that next year is going down to 35.
Can I?
Yes.
Do we need to move it in second?
We're going to move it in second. Yes, please.
You're withdrawing 15.
15, I'm withdrawing.
I'll move 16.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Before we move it, let's do 15. I'm going to withdraw. Second. All in favor? Aye.
Done.
All right. 16. I'm moving 16.
I'll second.
Second. All right. On discussion on this. Tracy?
Yeah. Just so I'll pass it around. I'd like to make an amendment to your amendment.
This is on a payroll now.
No, yours is on everything.
On everything? Okay.
Yeah, yours on
all, right.
On
all right, yes, okay.
Do this.
Maybe if I can.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I'm gonna second Legislator Bartel's addition to the amendment.
So, and I'll explain it.
Where is it? She's hanging it out.
Oh, she's on.
So I'd ask for detail on a bunch of lines. I mean, not just in this department.
More?
But what I'm passing around has to do. It's the line that includes or would include the bar dues that came up last week. We talked about the bar dues for one member who's not acting as a attorney, and in fact, it was clarified that no acting attorney of the county, which includes the DA, the PD, the county attorney, and attorneys in our legislative offices, none of those bar dues get paid by the county except for this one example. So, because there's no other way to be certain that that money doesn't get used for that, and to me, it definitely seems improper. I'm requesting that we move that whole line into contingency, and then we would just have to approve that sub line, if that makes sense. And I'd like to do it as an amendment to your amendment.
I would open arms kindly do that.
There.
Second, yes.
Just, Mr. Chairman, just to make you aware, you would just change the amounts where you have the other miscellaneous contractual line.
Yep. Right. Hold on, please.
Right now you have it going to $12,500.
Right.
It would go down to...
It's $29.70 is the difference.
Right. It would be another $29.70.
All right. So that number would be...
That now becomes...
$3,000 off that. So it's so 95...
30.
95.30.
Correct.
But I also, Bert, can it be specific, as I did with that
sure.
subline, the way that you had
mm-hmm.
given
yeah,
the details
you can include
on the subline?
This. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mary Beth?
Can I just ask, so they're doing 40 hours, we're bringing them down to 37.5, so this regular pay line, like that's all been calculated correctly?
It's an amendment 16.
Yes.
No, I'm just saying that's all, and then that's just with people getting
that's
2%
three staff members.
2% raises only.
Correct. Okay. And that's three of the staff.
Yep. So we'll add the 2,900.
Can I just also on this? So because I was asking, I asked Bert, which I don't have it in front of me right now. I'll find it in the next couple minutes. For a lot of detail on a lot of different lines all throughout the budget. But just speaking again to this department for one second. And it sort of highlights the micromanaging problem, but not that we're not supposed to be micromanaging, but the periodicals line in this department, there was, in terms of the specifics, there was $1,500 for newspapers. That seems like crazy to me, but I mean, how much, I mean, it gets, so, again, we're not, if we're to go through every single bit of every single line, which is why I think next year it'll be nice to have the breakouts for each individual committee to look at, which some committees it's going to be hefty.
Tracy, my whole intent when I looked at this and I looked at other budgets was to put everything in contingency so that when it comes back, back
when we get the answer,
we'll get an answer that why we're spending $1,200, $1,500 is the number.
Well, I don't know if you want to move that too, because like I said, there's 3,000. I'll find the line. Bert might know about that.
Bert, you know what it is off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head. Sorry.
Oh, here I have it. I have it.
I don't have the details.
Sorry, I just have too many.
You don't?
So, other miscellaneous. It's under, it's 4600.4635.
It's part of the line we're cutting already.
Yeah, it's part of the line we're cutting already, mm-hmm. but it says miscellaneous contractual expense periodicals, because I had asked to see mm-hmm. a breakout of that whole line. Mm-hmm. And the breakout for that portion of that line read miscellaneous newspapers, $1,500. Other miscellaneous publications, $1,500. So I had asked today if we could get. Through Vicki, I had asked for a breakdown, because what seems most relevant to me is last year, tell us what you spent in that line, the 4635 specifically, so that I could see, like, did you spend it on, I mean, $1,500 on newspapers, I don't know, maybe it's the New York Times, the Wall Street Journals, and the LA Times, but then it begs the question, is it worth $1,500. I don't, you know.
That was the whole intent of what my original intent was to do that, so that we know exactly that they're going to come back to the legislative body to expend this money. Mm-hmm. Also, too, we have a policy for attendance and conferences that everyone's going to have a copy of this. Yep. They're not going to do this till December, mm-hmm. but have your input in this. And there again, this is stems from the point of. You know, people taking trips that are authorized by whoever within their own department. I really don't know how. The bottom line, some of these trips are getting very outrageous in regarding costs. So this is going to look at that, make evaluations. In the meantime, we're putting money in contingency, and we'll make determinations from the contingency account. David and Hector.
I think if you're going to be doing things with reference to conferences, and they should be, you know, across the board.
They are, Dave, across the board.
Any conference outside of New York needs to be okayed by the legislature, or even it could be the necessary committee of the legislature, or something of that nature.
It affects every town, Ulster County itself, every department within Ulster County, not just one or two. Hector,
Actually, just one thing I should consider. I know you made the net change from 19,650 down to 6,000. That's a net change of 13,650. I'm actually just curious as to, considering that we're actually waiting on this, both on this policy and also I think kind of just continuing to go through this particular department, and that actually gets into Amendment 17 and et cetera. Should that amount actually be the full amount of conference expenses? How did you actually come down to 6,000?
There's other costs into that line. Is it correct, Don?
Are there certain things like NYSAC or something like that are actually coming out of that?
There were some in-state.
Some in-state ones. Okay, that's fine. All right, withdrawn.
Listen, we're not here. We're not here.
It was just a question.
Just so everybody's very clear, we are not restricting conferences. What we're looking at is some of those conferences got way out of line regarding the cost of attending those conferences. And unfortunately, they were spent. What we're doing is trying to put a tighter control on that. Dave and Jim.
Yeah, in reality, there was. Everybody knew the conferences. They were spelled out to the ways and means. I pulled out the one that I save on my emails in the little categories, and this one was sent out as a memo to this committee along with a few other people about the conferences they were going to be going to. And then, of course,
the cost on there, Dave?
If you take a look at the conferences, they also talk about the idea that, in other words, they were all okay by the, they're signed off by the executive's office. So, I mean, we do need to take a look at those. I mean, like I said, we got if you're going to make a policy, that's what you got to do. I mean,
that's the whole intent of what we're doing, Dave, yes. That's what this is. Add, delete, whatever you want from this point. But, yeah, there again, you know, it's got way out of hand. And in order to control it back, we're going to set a policy, just like we might set a policy for many other things. Jim and then Bert.
Mr. Chairman, it was in this room, I believe, 7 years ago that we sat right here where the policy was changed that allowed this to happen. Okay? And it was, they raised the ceiling. I believe it was from 1,000 to 5,000, and that's where the programs, everything went awry. It's got to, the ceiling has to be brought way, way down. And I think that everyone, I don't see all the emails that Dave gets on travel and things like that, the approvals.
Well, he's retired now. He gets all that information.
Okay. But I think anybody that's doing any type of out-of-state travel should come to this committee and put their plans out.
Does that mean Buffalo, too?
It's not out-of-state.
Bert, and then
Chairman, I just want to point out, I'm actually doing some more research on this. I believe a lot of the travel of the comptroller, yes, it was approved by the exec, but a lot of it was after the fact.
That.
Oh, either being charged on the credit card after the fact, and I'm going to look into that further.
All right. Tracy, didn't you know?
I just got quickly, my so instincts as we're talking it. About
these Hold on.
I think it's more relevant to talk about overnight conferences than out of state, because again, Buffalo in New Jersey, I can get to New Jersey in 45 minutes.
We have a policy that was just written up. Look at this, yes. Add to it, subtract from it, do whatever you want to do, bring it back. We'll put it back. Hopefully, we'll have something by December. Jeanette and then Ken.
Yeah, well, we had this conversation the other night, and TJ had talked about it a while, too, and it goes to what Jim has said. Once you pass the budget, you give a department $5,000 for travel. They can travel any place they want to travel.
You're correct, but the thing is, the county exec, in my opinion, all right, has the authority to say yes or no to that travel.
And the legislature passes a budget that says, we agree, here's $5,000 for you for travel.
Yeah. But in that travel, how many trips are there?
We don't have that in there.
But he has it in his budget.
Documentation that the Commissioner of Finance provided to you last week. Over from 2011 to 2014, there were 131 outside trips countywide. Of that total, 51 of them related to the sheriff, and 14 of them related to the county comptroller. It's a massive percentage of their total travel, 40% and 35%. There are other travel that occurs. For example, the tourism department went 16 times out of state. It was not for educational conferences. It was to go and exhibit for the county at golf shows and other travel expos where they go and they Philadelphia is a big one that we do every year, for example. So we just caution the committee that, if somebody is, if the speed limit's 65 and someone goes 90, you don't lower the speed limit to 50 for everybody else. You enforce the guy who's doing 90. I mean, there are some obvious abuses. I know that we have some concerns about it as well, seeing all the information that's come out during the discussions. But there's some very legitimate travel that does occur. For example, the Department of Tourism does go exhibit at shows. We can show a good rate of return on those. But, again, it gets very onerous that you have to go and, come in, by resolution, get a full vote for travel. We scrutinize the travel in the executive branch very seriously. Again, we nickel and dime. Most of the travel we do, if not tourism, anything else, like a health department, they'll go to a CDC conference in Chicago. Generally, it's 100% reimbursed. So there's not a large expenditure.
You get yourself in bigger trouble now. You get yourself in bigger trouble.
No. We actually analyzed. Ken doesn't know where to stop.
Hold on. We are not here to limit travel. Okay, we are here to control expenses. Okay. That's our whole intent.
Make sure that
now your department and had looked at reviewed trips, and they had to be either approved before or after, whatever the case may be, but there are substantial amount of dollars on some of these trips. I mean, that's what brought it to our attention. And that's why we're proceeding as a legislative body to set a policy so this doesn't happen in the future.
But again, there are some obvious abuses of the system.
They're not
coming from the executive branch.
I'm not saying that at all.
You can't just do it from one branch of government. It has to be everybody.
Across the board.
You can't just do, right, you just can't do
TJ.
One department and not another.
You know,
and that's not our intent, Jeanette.
If you will, this is a bit of a lesson learned. Again, it was in their budget. They spent it. Whatever. Can we, like, somewhere draw a line in the sand and let's move forward?
Yep. Yeah, you have a policy here. Add to it, delete it. We'll have something in the future.
We have the policy going. Yeah. And then people will have to adhere to it.
Carl?
I see in the the fourth resolve, there's that $500 thing there. But I got a question. The county department heads get a county credit card?
No.
What did you say on the credit card? Whose credit card?
Elected official does have a county card.
All right, so if, let's say, the Ways and Means Committee has to approve, you know, certain contracts over $50,000 or whatever, you know, I'm sure it's not that, but he could just go and use the credit card any place he wants and then put in a voucher?
There are restrictions on what to use for, but one is, you know, to reserve a hotel room, per se. Because a lot of hotel rooms won't take a purchase order.
Well, what are the limits on the credit card? How much can they spend?
It's a purchasing. To be honest with you, I don't know off the top of my head what those limits are.
Because usually conferences are planned ahead of time, mm-hmm. and you get a voucher, right? And then you send it to the powers that be at the conference, and then they
cut a check for the PO. But see, that's where it goes back to the hotel. Hotel will not accept the purchase order.
Oh.
A lot of times,
if you get in the state, if you got a credit card, part of when you sign on the dotted line for that credit card, it said that any charges outside of those which would be state-authorized, you were personally responsible for. I'm sure it says the same thing with his credit card.
Did he get the government rate? I mean...
Yes.
Sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's move forward here. All right, so resolution or amendment number 16 with the amendment. Hector's not here? Well, we need him? We don't need him. All right, with the amendment, changing $12,500 to $95,330.
But with the specific detail. So
right.
Which
on the amendment.
Which line are you changing?
We are changing other miscellaneous contracts, $15,500 down to
$95,330.
All right. Moved with the amendment. Or with the amendment. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The amendment with the other amendment inclusive. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, amendment number 17. What is it?
Right here.
Okay. Hector,
He's for it. Yes.
Yes,
on both two amendments.
Yeah,
yeah. The amendment and the amendment.
Yeah.
We amended the amendment number 16.
Yep,
17. All right, 17. All right.
So this 17 is per our discussion in Ways and Means that we would be doing an audit.
Move it first, Hector.
I'll move it.
Second. All right, go on.
No, Hector. No, per our discussion. So, in Ways and Means.
Per discussion of what?
That we wanted to have an audit of the comptroller's office at this point with regards to all these different little, how should we say, issues. One might characterize
it as idiosyncrasies.
What's that?
Idiosyncrasies.
Revelations, whatever you want, Daniel. So I think we all know what it is.
And every other department in a county is audited except the comptroller's office, right?
My knowledge is the comptroller's office has the opportunity to audit every other department.
Right.
That's the only department that
so
there's
it's
no
the
one
only
overseeing that.
Right. So yeah, I think that we should do that. If not. Certainly, at least once a year.
Do we know that all of the county departments have been audited?
I'm sure they have not. I don't know for a fact, but I would doubt that they have.
Do we
know? He's the chief auditing officer.
That's his job.
Right.
He decides what he audits and what he doesn't.
And what does he do? Say he completes an audit. Where does it go?
A lot of times he doesn't publish them. I see a lot of things, but I don't know what he. I don't know that he puts them all out. Sometimes he calls them a review and not an audit.
All right, Don's going to find out what the particulars is, who he has to audit, and after he does the audit, where the audit goes to.
Find out who he has to audit.
Maybe get a report of who's been audited. Yeah. I mean, other than the department.
And where does it go to?
Yes. I'll say even the audit he's done via the Department of Finance has just been hotel motel related, assigned counsel related. The department itself, no.
What is the auditor in other counties?
What's that?
I wonder who audits the auditor in other counties, the other 50 or 61 counties.
Probably have to have.
Some of them don't have water.
Yes, yeah, some of them don't have.
We don't have some controllers.
All right. I don't know. All right. Any on amendment number 17? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? Nope. Number 18.
18. Yeah.
Mental health to other professional fees changed from 47,890 to 68,858.
Which one?
Trace. Yeah. What's that, Trace?
Sorry, just on the last point, I'm going to just follow up for, but for Don's going to request a list of all the departments that have been audited. But one thing I think that this committee should consider is that depending on what the outcome of that request is, when we see it, I mean, I think we should be asking the comptroller to audit some departments. I mean, to do.
Do we have that authority? I don't know if we do or don't. The question is, do we?
We can request.
We can ask.
We can make a request.
Yeah.
I know I made a request a number of times that the auditor audit. This county has over 5,000 contracts. And just take social services, for instance. And mental health, there's a lot of things we don't do ourselves. We contract out. You know, we have no idea if we're getting what we're paying them for. I thought that's what an auditor does, or a controller. I might be wrong. Maybe that's not their responsibility. But that's what I'm waiting for. I want to know that what we're paying for, we're getting that service.
Dave?
That's what contract management does. That's why we put that in line.
No, contract manager.
Actually,
they do many of the contracts.
Contract manager only looks at contracts. They don't audit if we're getting the service.
There seems the contract's in order. You know, everything's there. We have the liability. We have this, that. I mean, that, they're not looking at other particulars. Hector?
Actually, just as an aside, and again, I just like to know the answer. I mean, can he do an audit, like an audit, with a formal audit without a CPA?
Why, you want to put one in his office?
Well, he doesn't have a CPA, so.
So you want to put one in? You're making a recommendation to put him in?
Just say it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Number
18.
Richie. Tracy, moving in.
Look to your trip.
I'll second it.
Tracy, what is it? Other than mental health.
It's technical amendment.
It's mine.
It's Burke's.
Oh, I thought it was Tracy's.
Which one do we still need a sponsor and second for?
Just the allocation.
These are the ones he spoke about.
Yeah.
Can you explain that, Bert?
All
right. Any other discussion?
No.
We still need a sponsor.
Allocation of respite beds.
I'll move it. Tracy, second. Tracy, you're second that one, all right?
Yeah, I did.
All right. All right, any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, number 19. This is clerk of the legislative body all, rearranging the legal, making those adjustments.
I'll move it.
That didn't have a sponsor, the last one.
How's it already moved?
John, what was that?
Oh, okay, Rich and Tracy.
You whispered. Speak up.
Moved and seconded, Mr. Chairman.
Moved and seconded. Discussion? Tracy?
As I said earlier, you know, I asked for the history of council pay, you know, and just 5 years ago, 2010, the total was $54,223, and that seemed pretty standard. 2011, it was in 2012 that it switched to three, you know, we got three positions and they all got bumped, so it went to 87,000. So in basically from 11 to 15, we're proposing such a giant increase with this change that at the moment I can't support it.
What was the difference between 11 and 15?
11 was at 54,223, and this proposal brings us to 100. This proposal brings us to 105, so almost doubling. And this proposal doesn't include all the increase in benefits, which I just, as a technical point, want to make to the committee. Whatever happens, if it passes, we have to make appropriate adjustments to the benefits.
We have to have the benefits.
Mm-hmm. Social Security.
I have a question too.
Now, hold on. Well, the benefits are going to be only on based on $11,670.
Hmm? Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Right, but you're still going to make them.
Okay.
You're going to make them.
Mary Beth?
I understand what Tracy's saying, and I remember bumping up. I think at the time, Chris was the minority, and it was so ridiculous, the little amount he was getting. But I'm thinking about later on, majority, minority, doesn't matter, but maybe we should just go to two council. I don't know why we have to have three.
Well,
down the road.
Yeah. Well, we're cutting back. Down the road, those changes are made whoever was happened to be the chairman at the time. But I...
Well, no, the charter sets everything up regarding how it was set up.
Well...
I was going to say.
All right, I'm not going to get into it, but I know how it was done, okay?
Yeah.
But let me... If I just finish my... train of thought. I keep getting interrupted, it seems, when I have something to say.
You're always interesting,
God,
Jeanette.
God. But I go back, well, if I go back years and years ago, prior to charter, there were times that the minority caucus had no council. So we bring this up to today, where now we have a charter form of government. Things are getting more complex. We need a lot more research done, and I think the minority council is as important as the majority council, and they both should be paid the same amount. As far as council, the other council is council of the full legislature and the chairman, and then the minority has council and majority has council, and I think that that's the way it should be.
Dave?
I think what the... and. You know, I tend to agree with Jeanette. One of the problems was, I know, because as a point of information, I was the first chairman under the new system. And what happened was, I at that point hired Dan Heppner, who came in as the, our attorney. But the problem was, is that with just one and the minority one, it was literally, he had to be everywhere and everything. And, it was kind of difficult for him to do that. So that's one of the reasons why we added that second one and reduced the salary of, I think his salary was running around 56 or something. I can't remember what
it was. It was
50. Oh, it was 50, okay. So we actually increased the numbers and had a sort of a part-time to the part-time. And then, of course, they also increased the minority pay when under with Chris because he was doing a lot of the work. He was doing a lot of the work dealing with a number of policies and so on and so forth. And at that time, the Republicans became in control, and they felt that he should be paid better than that. So I think that's the mindset here, and to put the whoever is in the minority council up, in comparison to the majority council.
Hector, you want to say something?
No, this is voted.
Tracy?
Well, I was also going to say, because I wasn't here for the portion that Dave's talking about, but I was here for the period when Langdon, and I remember that argument was that Langdon, because he was going to be on a contract line, we'd save on benefits, and therefore that money was rolled into the additional attorney's line, that conceptually at least, that's the argument that was made. But just to make the point that these numbers keep escalating and escalating, I mean, the right now, with this amendment, it's the attorneys for the legislature will be making nearly half of the whole legislative board's salary.
So what are you saying, we get an increase?
Two of these people are part-time too.
This is a discussion we really should have some time, because I have a completely different opinion. In order for this body, legislative body, to be able to digest everything that comes to us, and some of it is so important, the other side has the best of the best. And there's no reason we shouldn't have the best of the best. And to always penny pinch ourselves just does not make any sense to me. It drives me crazy, and we've been doing this for a number of times. I recall 4 years ago, I requested money with Ken Ronk be put in a budget for a fiscal analysis. Well, thank heavens we have Don, because he's a lot more experienced than the last one we had. You know, I'm just
Mary Beth,
saying,
be nice,
you know,
Mary Beth.
You can't, you know, this is just crazy, the position we put ourselves in. We're part-timers. I sent everybody yesterday, because I know tonight is the Laws and Rules Committee, a School of Public Affairs, I think it's called Baruch Barak College, on smoking. I guarantee you, if one or two read it, I'm going to be lucky. And they're going to base, thank you, because there's just one little line they had to read which would explain it all. But people get, I'm just saying, legislators get 9-10 pages of information, and it's hard to digest. So you should be able to go to whoever your attorney is or on staff. You should be able to go and have that already, you know, analyzed and summarized and whatever else.
John?
Well, if I might answer the Right Honorable Legislator from Lloyd, I think you heard me last time. Once we're in a majority, then we're in a minority, and it goes back and forth. Everybody deserves an unvarnished opinion, recommendation, and their thoughts. And let's not pretend that this isn't a little like a competitive business. I mean, you all got one side, you all got another side. But and if you didn't have your own, my feeling is somebody who will give you an unvarnished opinion, who is they're equals, and it then gives everybody an honest opinion, let's say at least from their point of view. And I just think it's long overdue.
Just going back to what Jeanette said, you know, basically, you know, you're talking about the, you know, what we pay salaries for attorneys. It's basically $105,000 for 3 part-time attorneys. I mean, you compare it to the executive side, there's no comparison. I mean, they have individuals making more than that. So, I mean, it's not a comparison. We have a function.
But it's not his fault. It's our fault.
I totally understand. We have the final say when it comes to money. And we're not spending money foolishly here. We have to do what we think is best for us. So make a decision, yes or no, on this resolution number 19. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? Two.
Okay. Who are the two?
No, Hector and Tracy. All right. Amendment 20, sponsored by TJ. TJ, you're sponsoring it?
Yes.
Okay, second by? I'll second it just for discussion. This is to increase the tourist department personnel line by
$12,679. Oh,
any discussion?
What will be the director's individual salary?
It's
going to
be
$12,679.
No.
It's
70. It's 70 with the new.
So 82,
82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, thing that I'm going to carry, even if I do get beat up on it. But I look at county attorney things. They're up 15%. County attorneys are lowest paid attorneys, blah, 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 blah. That's what we hear. Then I got public defenders getting $9,000-$10,000 raises because increasing hours from half-time to three-quarter time, which also means it's costing you additional money.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's costing you additional money in retirement. But you, so I have public defenders making, you know, with the budget as it goes, $45,000. That's only not a lot less. And, you know, we justify it by they're going half-time to three-quarter time. They're the lowest paid attorneys. Well, I've had people say, well, you know what, maybe, you know, they don't like the job. We kind of said it with the comptroller's office. They don't like the job. Tell them to go get another job. We'll find somebody else. And again, like, I'm not justifying. I'm justifying this based on the $500 million a year that tourism brings into our county. I think the gentleman does a great job. I think he works probably one of the smallest budgets going. His brochures and things have won awards, and I think he's worth more than we give him, and I'd like to do something if
works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, that's my pitch.
Hector?
Well, I'm in the awkward position because this individual I've known for, God help me, at least 15 years.
God help him.
Is a constituent. is a dear friend, and I will be voting no. and it's really painful to do that. And that's the awkward position I find myself in. So, for the record, I happen to think this particular department head, who will remain nameless, is not only a fantastic county employee, a fantastic human being, and a fantastic voter.
I just lost.
But in all seriousness, I will be very heartbroken and voting no.
And he's a good golfer too.
Are you going there?
He's a good call for that. That's also true.
Because he goes to all those conventions down in
Charlie Horse. Mary Beth.
Can I just ask, did he get a 2% raise?
Yes, he did.
In 14
hours. I mean, yes.
He got a 2% raise everybody else. And what's the actual numbers?
The salary right now is $70,321 in the 15.
$70,321.
In the 15 budget.
Oh.
So the new one.
You add. Oh. I haven't added. You had the net change to
can
his.
Can I just ask TJ? Can I keep going?
Sure.
How did you come up with that number?
That's the 83,000 of what the other deputy directors in the county would be making. I think it's 82, 18, 812.
Just we put it in at 83.
Yeah, it's 83.
It's at 83. That amendment would make it 83.
And just to clarify, you said there would be no way to do a budget neutral for this.
Not within the Department of Tourism. It would have to come from, you know, contingency like the amendment stated.
That's the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same taxpayer money we spent with the awareness.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, that's true. That's why I wanted to...
All right, any other discussion? From Ken?
Yeah, similar to Hector, I know this individual, and he does a good job. But the nature of reality is, that's a very easy position to fill at that salary. There are a lot of very, very qualified people that can fill the tourism director position that are in this county without having to go far for recruitment. And that's what gives me pause, because some of wages should be based on supply and demand, what people are willing to work for, not just paying them more because another category of job is hard to fill and has to pay more. It's not just about title. It's about the availability of people to fill a certain job and what they're willing to work for, too.
All right. Any other discussion?
I don't agree with that at all, but I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I would ask TJ if a lot of the changes that you gave us, mm-hmm. I can't find it right now because I'm, like, scattered, but it was, like, a 2 to 5%, wasn't there something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would ask TJ if he would consider lowering the amount.
I'd consider anything.
What was his original salary?
70,321.
And the
amendments to 83.
And you know what? I do go back. I disagree with what he said. Anybody is replaceable. I say this to anybody I talk to. Okay, I think I'm the greatest person in the world. But if the bank let me go tomorrow, they'd have somebody by the next day replacing me. But it's how you do the job. And I think this is an awesome, awesome job.
Well, there's no question.
Awesome.
TJ, would you take 70,382?
That's what he's getting.
Oh!
you gave him $61.
Actually, you actually gave him $61.
I don't even know how to compute that. Whatever.
TJ, you want to make a...
His amendment is...
You know, I'd amend it for a $3,000 increase.
No, come on.
I don't know.
It has to be a percentage.
I'll take him to 75.
You know what? He either gets it or he doesn't. Yeah. I mean,
just leave it the way it is.
Who knows?
It's amazing. We discussed it.
If I may, I'll just go back to...
3% would be 1,400.
Yeah.
You know, can I just jump in for one, Mr. Chairman?
TJ has a floor, then Jimmy.
Go ahead.
Jim has a floor, then.
Bert, correct me.
Hold on, Dave.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Tourism is probably the number one industry in this county. generates probably how much, 26-27% of the sales tax?
I mean, that's a thing from the state. I wouldn't be able to quantify it.
Right, I've heard it at the state level.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's a huge driver in Ulster County's economy. Okay, so, you know, it doesn't happen always by accident. This man does a very good job.
There's no question that's the case.
And can we go back to this pizza paper where other people got more than a 2% raise just because we heard that from, I'm not going to name names, several people.
Hold on, maybe
about,
they didn't get it yet, so. Okay.
Well, you don't listen on that. You either think he deserves it or he doesn't.
Right.
And I'm this one got that one got this one. I mean, you know.
I'm just saying.
All right, Carl, David, and Bert.
I just want to say, you know, with the executive budget personnel review that you've given us, I mean, there are 14 positions greater than 20%. Some of them are budget neutral and some of them aren't. I do feel that tourism is a big draw to this county. It should be more than just tourism, but right now I think tourism takes most of our sales tax and gives it to us. And I think the $12,679 is... I approve it. I think he does a great job. He's not a personal friend.
Yeah.
He's not in my district, so there's no conflict of interest.
Dave?
Well, if he gave it 5%, that would be approximately $3,500. I believe you figure 700 times 5 is 35. So if he gave it 5%, it would be $3,500.
5% on top of the 2% he's already in?
Yep. Well, I don't know, whatever the number is there.
Well, he's getting two already.
Bert,
hold on. Bert has the floor.
I know. Some legislators have talked with the, you know, in terms of the person. I try to keep things by position and what the responsibilities of the position are. And TJ, I understand, and Jim, in terms of the amount tourism brings in. So I just wanted to clarify, let's not look at the person, let's look at the position. So I just bring that to everyone's mind.
And also, just to expand that, I mean, we start looking at individuals, I'm sure we can name quite a few people who are very deserving of substantial raises.
And there are people who got substantial raises.
Not yet, but they have.
And if I may, potentially.
There's some that didn't.
But there again, the whole point, the whole point is that, you know, they went through a budget process through the county exec's office. They didn't warrant to see if that position was an increase of other than the 2%. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they analyze it. I'm sure they do comparisons with other tourist directors. I mean, to arbitrarily say, and I know Rick very well, he does a great job, and I don't think anyone's questioning that, but how do you stand here and say, okay, this position gets more, but this position over here, well, I don't know if we're going to evaluate that one. So, I mean, it's very difficult.
Well, if I may, sir, the same way we judged whether or not we should give money to awareness or eating disorder groups, those groups came before you, and I'm coming before you.
I understand.
And
totally
so I'm
understand.
Asking for based on not that merit, but I'm coming before you.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Just as our county attorney came before this body. All
right. Call the question.
You want 35?
I would take 35.
He wants to do the 5% at 35?
Now you want to make an amendment?
I'll make an amendment.
To
5%. From 5% on the 70.
That would be 535.
Approximately 3,500.
I'll second that.
So, just to clarify, you want to make that 73,821?
73,821, yes.
Second, who seconded it? Mary Beth? All right.
Is that going to make a difference?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the no vote? In the yes vote?
That's
what's
in front of us, so let's take a vote.
All in favor?
All right.
All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Sure, what not?
Against?
Nobody against?
Me.
Thank you.
That was on the amendment?
That was on the amendment that changed the value there, yes. All right, so that change is going to be less than 12,000, whatever that number is.
We vote on the amendment of the amendment.
We vote the amendment on the amendment.
Well,
you got to vote the whole thing.
We could technically basically say that he amended his own.
Okay.
You want to vote again? Fine.
You don't need to vote.
No.
All right, come on.
Call the roll one more time. Go ahead. All those in favor of the poll.
All right, so now we're on the thing.
Yeah.
Now we're on number 21.
Amendment 20.
21?
Where's 20?
Okay, so.
Number 21 that Tracy's going to hand out.
All Okay, so for discussion.
All right, whatever.
Which
I counted that he amended his own.
I got it.
I understand that
you've competing opinions out over here.
Oh, by the way, we don't have a second.
On which one?
The TJ's.
Mary Beth.
No, Mary Beth.
No, I mean like for the actual amendment. We don't have
Mary
a
Beth.
Second. Mary Beth.
You second that amendment.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Okay, so it's going around, but I'll just explain what's coming from. I had asked for details on a lot of lines.
Go over there.
And one that jumped out at me, which was just this morning, so when I leave here, I will call the county attorney and talk to you about it, and preface by saying, which I did say earlier, I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect for our county attorney, and this isn't personal, we're just talking about the budget. So the 4300, 4505 line in the county attorney's budget is listed as professional services, other fees. So I'd ask for a detail of that. In our budget currently, we go from 14 amended was 111,000, 12 it was 72,000, and in 15 the recommended budget is 175,000. And again, it's for professional services. So the detail came for bankruptcy and foreclosure costs, special counsel 41,000, outside counsel for litigation matters 125,000, and service of process 9,000. So I thought that at the least we should discuss it, especially when, you know, in the comptroller's budget we're talking about accountability and small scale, and I support the increases to the council. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do with that, but I heard, you know, B made her pitch, and I'm okay with that. But when you look at the difference in, similar to what I said about legislative council, when you look at the difference in county attorney line, in 2012, the actual was 741,000. In 15, it's 1.47 million. And while that does include retirement, Social Security, and health insurance, it still represents a roughly, because that's like 400,000, it still represents close to a 50% increase in the line over time. And that's not just in salaries, which we're looking at increases in part-time pay and whatnot. Now, the reason that 125 jumps out at me, no matter where you fall on the issue, the Catskill Mountain Railroad, you know, there was litigation, and we've all talked about the accountability to the legislature in terms of where that money's come from, because it's, you know, we're authorizing, the attorney, county attorney's authorizing 20,000 at a time, 10,000 at a time, the aggregate, I don't know what the number was, about 100,000, but it never came before us. So I'm just putting it on the table. I don't know what this committee will do, but right now, you know, right now we're looking at 125,000 in that line for outside litigation. Now, I think we should give benefit of, I'd like to postpone this resolution until tomorrow and ask B to be here to talk to us about that portion of the line.
It says 175.
Right, 175 is the total, but I'm saying 125 of the 175 is just for outside counsel for litigation. 41 is for outside special counsel for bankruptcy.
So what do you want to do, lower it or higher?
What I'd like to discuss is putting part of it into contingency so that if something came to us, but I don't want to do it without having B here to discuss it, which is why I'd like to postpone it like my other until tomorrow and ask B to be at the meeting to talk to us about this line.
Just remember, tomorrow we're starting at 5:30 because... Yeah, gotcha. TJ has his committee. Hopefully, we have a half hour, correct? From 5:30 to 6:30. And we have the sheriffs. We're going to have this one.
We have an hour.
Laws and rules meeting.
I mean, I'd be more than happy to put it on there, but I mean, you know, talking about something that's invented, it's very. Yeah, I'd be more than happy to put it on there. Bert?
I just want to point out, because Tracy, I know you gave me a call and I didn't have a chance to look, but in 2012, and that's the year you're looking at, you'll notice that there's $137,000 in two other divisions that were strictly for outside counsel.
In 2012, I don't notice that. Where is
if you look on page 60.
Probably for the LDC?
Part of it was for the LDC. The other part is for corporate compliance. So as I say, these things are come up on the county attorney's kind of docket, and she has to get
did
outside counsel.
Did corporate compliance get moved into ACE?
It did, but so it's a part of it. It was $20,000.
Right.
So I'm just bringing that, you know, and I've actually talked with Tracy, too. Some of the outside litigation goes to environmental hazardous properties, which are under my kind of docket that we're trying to kind of bring to the legislature so there's not that liability. So that's one thing
but
we're looking at.
But it was also my understanding that one of the new hires was specializing in that.
Part of that, correct.
So, again, it's just, it's one of those things. I mean, like I said, no matter where you fall on the issue with Catskill Mountain Railroad, it highlights the way that some, that expenses can get can build up without any legislative even awareness.
So
we'll talk about it. We'll talk about tomorrow. I didn't put in a specific, but I want to talk.
Well,
about
it's funny you should say that, Tracy. I've been working on something regarding a policy regarding county litigation, mm-hmm. and this all came about regarding the Catskill Railroad or heightened it to that point. And basically, it is a resolution that I have not presented yet. There again, it was something that we might have done by the end of the year. We have December 17th on here. And we will give everybody a copy of that. But there again, that's basically that we would have some input regarding lawsuits. I mean, it's not limited to money, but it's who are you going to sue, to what degree, do we know anything regarding the suit before we proceed with a suit, and so forth and so on. So, I mean, if you're going to evaluate.
We'll all be able to voice our opinion.
Well, I think that's what we're elected to do, yes.
We all went to law school, right?
Wow,
we
all went to law school. Wow.
That's
exciting.
I think it's more like the starter for my partner.
Hmm? That
should
be fun.
There you go.
For 23 people to come to
our event.
Sorry,
it's...
How are all right, so tomorrow we're going to see if we can be here.
There's just one more thing to add, and I forgot to mention, too. As we recall, the sheriff...
Hold on, please.
The sheriff had mentioned about outside counsel, and the comptroller did as well. I did not put those in the budget. They're in the county attorney, as she can get outside counsel for them.
I
bring that
to
your attention.
I missed what you said, I'm sorry.
The sheriff and the comptroller both had asked for outside counsel in their budget. I didn't approve that because it's in the county attorney's budget.
Okay.
So you have both elected.
How much is in there?
Where is it in their budget?
It wasn't in their budget.
Now, how much is it in her budget?
I think it was $10,000 for the comptroller and $20,000 for the sheriff. So that's $30,000 of that.
So are you referring to a particular lawsuit or in general?
In general.
Okay. Hector?
Don't we already get at least part of this in terms of that? Don't we actually normally get a monthly statement of who's suing the county?
Yeah. Who's so suing? But the thing is, we don't get the amounts. We don't get actions taken until after the fact.
Well, how are you going to get an action taken before the fact?
Well, what did you submit during the dockets and various other things? If they're asking for other information, are you?
Isn't it the county attorney's responsibility to, if any of us? A lawsuit was brought before us to defend us.
Yes.
Jeanette,
yes.
That's not true. Because it happened to me personally, and I went in my pocket and took out $9,700 to defend myself. So now it has changed completely. But back then, I was told that we did have professional liability insurance. And when we come to defend myself, I asked the county for money, and I did not get paid. I had to go in my pocket and pay $9,700. And I made $10,000 that year.
I don't remember you coming forth asking. I don't remember. I didn't even know that.
Well, remember Sue Zimmer got up on the floor and she made that big stink? I mean, I wasn't going up and say, hey, that affected me. But, I mean, there again, it did cost me $9,700 out of my personal money.
Yeah. So, Rich, you only made $10,000 that year?
Yeah.
I only made $10,000 that year. Look at my tax return.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, Mary Beth.
I just wanted to say, it's not the subject of this, can we get, or do we, I'm assuming that you have to share it directly, but just to kind of, but not singling out a department, but The sheriff is second on the list of the travel thing, and I'd like to see
the
breakdown of that.
I have the backup of all that.
I would say let's just do the top three, because it's 40%, 35%,
33%. I mean, I can even tell you, in terms of IS, is the one that's not on
there. Yes,
under
there, yeah.
They are, in terms of our New World financial system, also public safety has the same system. So when they have their conference, which is not local, IS sends a representative.
That's fine. I'm just
I can give you more information on the share. I have all that information.
Jim and Patrick.
Last thing out of me, Bert, you and I have had conversations earlier, as did Deputy Executive Sutherland. The new family court judge position that's going to be created or start on January 1st. Just logistically, there's going to be money for everything that will be needed after.
There's $325,000 in the budget, but I know they're going to try to get some things that they have to get it done by January 1st. A lot of that, so we're going to look into this year's budget to see if we can find it.
Because I know there's been conversations just internally that there's no budgeted money for furniture.
Not
for
earmarked.
Not earmarked. There's money there.
Right.
I'm sure they want fancy furniture.
Rich, just one point on your policy. I will let you know each year the external auditor, who's hired by the legislature, does ask for a list. So every year they do review this.
Understand.
Just wanted to make that clear.
Hector?
Review, I don't know what you're holding.
I was getting the list of the litigation.
Tracy?
They need to review it for their audit.
Just procedurally, Lynn reminded me. Elliot, the comptroller, came before us with a request, and so did the sheriff. Shouldn't we vote on those requests, even though they weren't in writing?
They never presented it, though.
They didn't prepare amendment.
There was never an amendment.
No.
It was just a discussion.
70 to 80 hours, but the sheriff never came up with money. Where
did
he get it from?
Oh, so you want to consider was going from 35 hours a week to 40 hours a week for how many individuals?
Say seven.
It's like five.
It's his civilian employees.
They should negotiate.
So, in discussing that,
you have it written down?
What is the failing of the
Ways you want to go 35 to 40?
35 hours a week to 40 hours a week.
Well, then how do you justify telling a controller he's got to go from 40 back to 35?
I mean,
this is
so
crazy.
I know. All
right,
so 37 and a half.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, 30. He said he would compromise 37 and a half.
Yeah, but then if the financial impact, excuse me, I'm sorry, did not include benefits. It just included salaries.
I think it was $30,000. I think it was $30,000 financial impact, not counting medics on top of
that. I don't know why they didn't write up their requests, but I was just raising a point that I don't know.
No, you're right.
Well, the thing is, somebody has a sponsor.
And someone has to write it up, and someone has to actually go and present it, like, all the justifications. And since we don't have that, I'm not prepared to go vote on it.
Well, why don't we just so that we can get it out of the way, that we bring it up and we make an action one way or the other. All in favor of accepting that?
Well, what's the dollar figures?
If I remember correctly, I thought it was 30,000.
No, plus. I believe it's more than that.
I thought it was 60.
Do you see what we're doing, Rich? This is not stuff. We should actually have it. It should. If they want it, they should have basically prepared an amendment, gone over financially what it was that they were requesting, where the money was coming from, the whole thing, as opposed to let's just shoot from the hip and say 3,000.
Yes,
I believe it's the
thing. It is.
I'm very uncomfortable doing this, picking and choosing who gets what. You either go into a 35-hour week or not. To say that a controller now, you can't. We're going to take it away from you, but we're going to give it to the sheriff. I mean, what in the world message does that send?
First, who's doing that, Jeanette?
Well, we're talking about doing it.
No, I'm just saying that there was a subject brought before us. If you want to take an action on it, that's the action. I'm not saying, I'm not promoting it. I'm totally against it.
Yeah, I'm against it.
Somebody needs to reach out to him and tell him to submit an amendment. We're meeting tomorrow anyway.
If we're not going to support him, why don't we just vote no then? Or is there support?
That's what I'm just saying. You want to take an action? Take an action.
I guess the question
no
is
action
is effective.
Is there support to
right
take
now,
action?
The controller's suggestion and the
sheriff's
suggestion.
Yeah, but I mean, there's nothing there.
They didn't give us anything.
So it's nothing. It didn't happen.
Exactly. Unless it's been moved. Right? Exactly. Unless it's been moved and presented to the committee.
I was just saying.
Just so everybody's aware, you're talking about hours going from 35 to 40 or vice versa, backwards. I mean, we have a situation in the county exec's office that went from 40 down to 35. So just be cognizant of the fact that, you know, we have done that in other areas if we continue with this yes. budget that way.
But it was explained and it was presented.
I'm just telling you that it's there.
So should we vote yes, Rich, or not?
On what?
I forgot what you
mean. All right. I'm going back to my original motion. I was going to say, my original motion, which was to adjourn.
I second it.
There you go.
I'm tired. All right, anything else?
Nope.
Tomorrow, 5:30, we have a quite intense period of time and a short period of time. So, motion to adjourn, 5:30 tomorrow. Motion, who made a motion? Jim, make a motion to adjourn. Second, Mary Beth.
Yeah.
All in favor, say aye. Thank you.
Again, we should maybe move that.